You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have Gene Miller from Swiss America Trading here in studio with us. And we're going to be talking about something that everybody understands and, of course, everybody wants. And I think that you're going to find this extremely interesting. But before we get into tonight's program, I need to make this announcement. I will be at the Self-Reliance Expo and Fair. That's the Self-Reliance Expo and Fair in Denver, Colorado, September 16th through the 19th. I will be in booth number 64 if you'd like to stop by and say hello. And Thursday night, September 16th at 7 p.m., I will be the keynote speaker. Friday, September 17th, I will be speaking at 11:30 a.m. And Saturday, September 18th, I will again be the keynote speaker at 8:30 p.m. Let me give you a phone number that you can call so that you can find out how much tickets are and where exactly this is going to be. Actually, it's going to be at the Denver Coliseum. That's September 16th through the 19th. And that's you can call area code 303-482-3731. That's area code 303-482-3731. And I'll repeat that number again later in the program. As I travel around this great nation of ours, ladies and gentlemen, people ask me one question more than any other question that I've ever been asked. And I bet some of you already know exactly what that question is. Now, you would think it would be, how can we save our Constitution and Bill of Rights? But that's not the question, ladies and gentlemen. The question is, how can I protect my assets? The answer to that question really is, if that's the only thing that concerns you is how you can protect your assets, you're going to lose your ass in the process of trying to save your assets over the Constitution, which is really, really what you must save to protect your assets and freedom for this country and, of course, for the world. But we all are concerned about our families. We are all concerned about the accumulated assets and belongings and the worth, the wealth, whatever we've worked all of our life to give us some comfort in our life and in our old age. And Gene Miller from Swiss America Trading is here tonight to talk to you about the investments that Swiss America Trading in particular has to offer, and specifically hard assets, precious metals. in all of their different forms. And there are many different forms, aren't there, Gene?
This is true.
I want to welcome you to the Hour of the Time. I know that you know, because you are the sponsor of this program, that we go worldwide, and we're now being heard in every country, every city in the world where someone is listening with a shortwave radio, and now by satellite, North, South, and Central America. And also, we're going into all the homes in South Florida by television, WSAT. We're on SpaceNet 3, Channel 21, 5.8 audio if you have a satellite dish, 7435 shortwave, WWCR Worldwide Christian Radio, and WSAT in the state of Florida. Gene, how many different forms of precious metals are there?
Well, there's three basic forms that we deal with. The two common ones are gold and silver, and then there's platinum. In the gold and silver, primarily, there's two forms, what we call most commonly known as bullion form of gold and silver, and then there's what they call the numismatic form of gold and silver.
And can you explain, what is bullion? I mean, a lot of people talk about bullion, but a lot of people don't even know what that means.
Well, bullion is, it's a form of gold that is just, it's minted, it's the gold, you're buying gold for the gold content, and that alone. It comes in gold coins, such as an American Gold Eagle, South African Cougarant, Canadian Maple Leaf, bars. Those are all forms of bullion. It by far is the cheapest way to own gold.
So just a chunk of gold or silver would be bullion?
Yeah, more or less.
Or a coin minted by a country that's made up of, are there standards for how much gold or silver has to be in a coin?
Well, they can range in their purity. Most of them are at least 22 karat gold or 9999 pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's their form of it's their gold standard, what they stand behind.
So each country could have its own standard that could deviate from some other countries, but usually they fit the category that you've just explained.
Yeah, every major country in the world has gold, and they offer it for sale.
Uh-huh.
You know, for people to buy. You can, it's in their form of what is commonly known as bullion. It's just a terminology that is used, and you're buying gold for basically the gold content. It's always minted into some sort of a coin, and so the spot price that you hear listed on the news or in the paper, it's an arbitrary, it's a benchmark. You can't really buy gold at spot price. You try to get it as close to it as possible, but there is a cost involved in taking that raw gold and minting it into a coin, and commissions involved with brokers and so on and so forth.
I see. Now, that could be like stock on the stock market, only you're dealing with something that has substance and you can take delivery of it and doesn't fluctuate as wildly as a stock would.
This is true. Gold is really, when you come down to it, is the only real form of money. It's real money. When you think about it, every civilized country on the planet has gold as their reserves. They don't have stocks in their reserves. They don't have bonds as their reserves. They don't have CDs or mutual funds or any other type of paper assets to back up their financial wealth. They have gold.
And amongst governments, they pay their debts with gold. Is that correct?
Correct.
And if they pay their debts with gold, then they realize the worth of gold. Why do they foist paper off on the people?
Well, I think before people can really understand why they should own it, they need to understand the problem that they're up against. You take back, go back about 36 months, 3 years ago, into the Bush administration, we saw the Federal Reserve start to lower interest rates. It was in what they call the good old days, where retired people, people of all class basically, would keep money in CDs. Certificates of deposit. Now they're called certificates of depreciation. Because we've seen...
Our depression.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen over the last, 3 years or so, interest rates drop, I think, some 25, 26 times by the Federal Reserve. Now to the point where people were used to getting anywhere from 10 to 15%, decided, you know, depending on the size of the CD they had and the number of years they'd keep it in there.
Sure.
Now we're down to 2.5% to 3%. And so what I believe I see happening is literally as we move our country and the world in essence into this, how they're trying to move us into this new world order, you have to control the people somehow. You have to get them under control, and one of the main ways to do that is through their pocketbook. Take away their money, they lose their control. And so all these people who used to keep their money in CDs in what was deemed a relatively safe, risk-free investment, getting a decent return, and they were supplementing their Social Security or whatever income on this, were literally forced to pull that money out of the bank. They couldn't survive. You couldn't survive on 2.5%, 3%. The government knows that inflation is running higher than that. It's ludicrous to even leave your money in there when inflation's running 4%, 5%, 6%, depending on what part of the country you're in, and you're only getting 3% on your money. You're going backwards. You're throwing your money away. You're losing money. And so people who would never, ever consider putting money in stocks or bonds or mutual funds or these higher risk type of investments are now pulling their money out of there and throwing the money into the stock market, which right at this point is greatly overvalued.
It's so overvalued that it's scary. You see businesses leaving this country by the droves to set up shop in somewhere else, Mexico, offshore, anywhere. It doesn't matter, but they're deserting this country. People are being laid off. Wages are going down. Companies are experiencing heavy losses. What's keeping this market up?
It's a perception. It's a false perception that the faith and confidence that it's going to work. It's an illusion. It literally is. It's like these magicians that create that illusion on stage. It's not real. It's really not real. But as long as people keep pouring, there's $10 billion right now being poured into the stock market a month.
Mm-hmm.
$10 billion a month. But that's going to dry up. Eventually, there's not going to be any more money to be pulled out of CDs and thrown into the stock market. And once that happens, and like what happened back in 1929, the Federal Reserve can jerk that money right out from under and pull the rug right out from underneath these people. And all of a sudden, you've got millions of people that are lost all their savings. In October of 1987, when the stock market dropped 500 points in one day.
That was a shock test.
$1 trillion was lost in one day.
Yes.
That's one-fourth of our national debt, right, at one moment, that $1 trillion was lost. And so once they pull the rug out from underneath this illusion that's happening, all this money will just literally disappear. It's gone. And these people now all of a sudden lost their control. They have nothing to fall back onto.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that's what they're trying to do. They want to control the people.
I think it's intentionally inflated to suck people into the stock market so that they can pull the plug.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why what we're about at Swiss America is to educate them, number one. Okay, show them what's going on, wake them up somehow. You know, sometimes you get frustrated and you just want to grab them and shake them and scream in their face and say, aren't you paying attention to what's going on here?
I know the feeling well. Don't we, sheeple?
And show them that owning hard assets, gold, silver, precious metals, coins, are the only way financially that they're going to survive this. Because, if paper investments were so good and so real, every government in the world would own them. But they don't own one bit of stock.
That's right.
They own no bonds. They own no mutual funds. They don't own any certificates of deposit. You know, they own it all in gold. And they don't want you to own it. They want to keep you in paper so that when the rug gets pulled, you're out of luck.
And it's all over.
It's all over. You have no money. Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to rely upon? They want you to trust in them. We'll take care of you now. Now we've created two classes of people, the ultra-rich and the very poor. We've wiped
slaves.
Out the slaves. Yeah, the servants and the masters.
Right, and that's exactly what's coming. We've talked about it for many, many hours on this show. Now, you've given us the definition of bullion. You said that precious metals occurs in three forms. What are the other two?
Well, and I was just, when I said three forms, I was talking about the three main forms of precious metals, and that's platinum and silver and gold.
And
now,
gold.
When you're dealing with precious metals in general, there's two forms to buy it in, numismatic and bullion form.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get at.
And maybe I should explain the difference. difference, and there's pros and cons to owning both of them.
Yeah, the third I was thinking of was mining stock. Why isn't that any good?
Well, you're putting your faith and trust in a mine that may or may not produce. And again,
in other words, you got a piece of paper that says there might be an ounce of gold in the ground.
Right.
But then again, there might not be.
You know, I guess I look at it, if I was in, when this thing all happens, and we're in a midst of chaos, and I walk down to the local grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, and I got some silver bullion or a junk bag of silver, some silver coins pre-1964 or gold in my possession in one hand, and I got a stock certificate of a gold mine in my other hand, and I hand my groceries on the counter, and I say, which one do you want, Mr. Grocer? Do you want my stock certificate, or do you want the real gold? Which do you think he's going to take?
Well, knowing how many sheep are out there, I'm not quite sure, but I would take the gold.
Exactly. It's real. Can you imagine now? Stocks can go to zero. Insurance companies can fail. Banks can close. But gold can never go to zero. Gold can never become worthless. Sure, it can fluctuate in price as the governments of the world owning their massive stockpiles of bullion can manipulate bullion prices.
That's right.
Okay? But it can never go to zero.
Something else with gold coins, they can never go below the face value of the coin.
Exactly.
So no matter what happens, if it's a $5 coin, it can never be worth less than $5 as long as that government exists.
Exactly.
And right. Even if it doesn't exist, most people would honor a $5.
$5 gold piece or $5 coin or $5 yeah. silver piece. But getting back to the difference between bullion and numismatic coins. Number one, bullion, like I said earlier, is the cheapest way to own gold. It is the closest to spot. And that's its one great advantage. You can own more of it. The disadvantages that occur in owning bullion come, I guess, from a history lesson. When our government was in trouble financially back in 1933, coming out of the Depression, when they jerked the money away from the people the first time, they decided to recall gold. Back then, $20 was worth $20 worth of gold.
Right.
And we were on a gold standard. And they recalled the gold at that time. Everybody that owned gold were compelled by law threat of jail term and fine to turn in their gold coins to the United States government, which they melted it down and turned it into bullion at that point.
And the sheeple, when they're told to do that, march right up
they
and turn
right
their
up
gold
up and do it. You know, 99.9% of the population did exactly what the government told them to do.
But real people don't do that.
Well, yeah. We hope so. That same law exists. And, you know, I believe that they'll do it again.
I think they will, too.
Because, again,
I'm sure of it.
He who owns the gold makes the rules.
That's right.
Gold makes you independent. You do not depend on the paper money that has devalued itself. Look, I always tell my clients, go back 50, 60 years ago, bury a $100 bill and bury $100 worth of gold. Dig it up today. Go into the grocery store and see what you can buy with that $100 bill. And take that $100 worth of gold now that's worth several hundred or thousands of dollars now, and what can you buy? Which one's held its value over time? Which one's lost its value over time? And which one does most of the people in our country have their money in? I suppose there's 1%, if that much, have gold in their possession, in their portfolio. Most people keep 99% of all their money tied up into paper.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so, with owning bullion, although that it is cheaper to own, the threat exists that it can be confiscated. Number two, it comes with a paper trail. When you buy bullion, especially on the sell end of bullion, there's a 1099, which many of you are all familiar with, and a W-9 form to fill out. And
if you're a taxpayer.
If you're a taxpayer. Okay. And all this paper trail that goes on goes along with owning bullion. They know you have it. Whereas the other form of gold is what they call numismatic gold. And some people get real scared when they hear that term because they think, well, that's collectible type gold. And yes, it is. But it comes in what most commonly we deal a considerable amount in is what they call generic common date gold pieces. There really isn't anything rare about them other than that they're old. There are thousands of them in existence. Most of them exist in Europe now. for when the gold was confiscated here, prior to that, we paid our trade deficits in Europe with $20 gold pieces. They wanted payment in gold. They didn't want payment in paper. They didn't want IOUs like we do now. They wanted gold. And hey, I don't blame them. And so we obtain these coins from the European countries now, and we have them certified and graded. But there's thousands of them out there. So they're just common date generic gold pieces, what they're called. And as such, they're still relatively inexpensive. But they do cost more, and I guess that's its one disadvantage. You'll pay more for a numismatic coin. The advantages lie in that it is totally private. There is no paper trail whatsoever. When you buy it, when you sell it, there is no 1099 form ever filled out. There's no W-9 form filled out. There's no Social Security number required. Nothing of that sort is needed when you're buying numismatic coins.
Now, in numismatic coins, the real value of a numismatic coins depend upon how many collectors want to buy that particular coin, and that's what drives the value up above the value of the metal in the coin.
Well, it used to be that way. In the last 10 or so years, numismatic coins have not only gone to collectors, it's become an investment item, just like a stock or just like something on Wall Street. They're even traded over computers now.
But basically, it's the same thing, and it drives the price of the coin up, because now there are more people wanting to buy less coins.
Right. It's a supply-demand-driven market. So you've got a limited supply. You've got at least a constant demand where, you know, time has shown us the demand for the coins has at least never dropped. And so the price continues to just tick its way up. They become more and more valuable. Mm-hmm. As far as if you're looking at an investment standpoint, there's no doubt about it. You'll always do better owning numismatic coins versus bullion. We've had coins that have gone up several hundreds of dollars versus a $50 rise in the price of bullion.
But isn't that true only as long as people have money to buy those coins?
True.
If the economy were to collapse tomorrow, that wouldn't be true, would it?
That's true. You know, they would drop, I would imagine, you know, in price.
The point I'm trying to make is if somebody bought a gold coin that cost them $5,000 because it's a numismatic coin,
mm-hmm.
and somebody else bought a numismatic coin, still a numismatic coin, and it has $100 of gold in it, and they pay $150 for that coin, which one is the better investment?
Well, obviously the $150 coin.
Okay.
If both coins have the same amount of value in it, the thing that you have to consider, and it makes no difference to me what you buy. It really doesn't. You know, you just have to, if you don't believe that the government will step in and take your gold from you in the bullion form, then by all means, you should buy bullion. But there's no question about it.
Uh-huh.
But if you believe like they've done in the past, where they've taken the gold from you and made bullion forms of gold illegal to own, making you, to confiscate it and turn it back in for worthless paper money, then the numismatics is maybe one thing you want to mm-hmm. consider. The thing that I encourage my people, look at the lowest end. Go for the cheapest, keeping the non-confiscatable, non-reportable aspect. But don't buy a rare piece, you know, because you could spend, to be honest with you, our company has coins that cost $100,000. But then we also have coins that cost $600,
mm-hmm.
you know, that may have the same amount of gold in it.
And so the one that costs $600 certainly has the biggest promise of a profit. And if the numismatic market collapsed, you wouldn't lose as much as you would lose on a higher priced coin.
Yes, this is true.
Okay, I'm not trying to point anybody in any direction. What I'm trying to do is bring out all aspects of this for my listeners, because we all have an obligation to them. And Swiss America, standing behind this show as they have for so long under such adversity, and the threats and ultimatums that you people have had to try to get you to dump this show, I know that you care about that too.
I think the point is they need to do something.
Yes.
Whether they buy a Cougarin, whether they buy Silver Eagle, whether they buy a junk bag of silver.
They need to do something
because, see, what people are doing, and this is where I guess my frustration comes in, and knowing what I know, here we are, we know we got a corrupt system. We know that the government wants to go to a new world order, a one world system. We know that it's going to happen, but they're going to pull the plug on the finances and jerk their money away from them, and all of a sudden, all these sheeple, okay, mm-hmm. are out of money, okay? And it's like, if you had a politician that you couldn't stand, a corrupt, you know, and you knew he was corrupt, but every November or every 4 years, you went down and voted him back into office.
I mean, that's what happened.
It's ludicrous, and yet we are literally supporting the movement, this new world order, by keeping our money in their system.
Mm-hmm.
We keep our money in their banks. We keep our money in their stock market. We keep our money in their bonds. We finance our unconstitutional debt. And then we wonder, maybe we should stop complaining about the system, you know. But we don't like what's going on, but yet we're supporting it.
A nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are stakes on the table and beasts of burden for those who will
exactly.
use their intelligence.
Exactly. And so my thing is do something. Do something. Get off the fence. Quit complaining and do something. Like I say, we can put you into whatever you want to do. We'll present both sides of the fence, both sides of the, and you tell me what you want to do, but do something, because you're just hurting yourself, and you're supporting this new world order, because it's a giant machine that takes fuel in order to run, and the fuel is money. They need money. If everybody all of a sudden pulled their money out of the stock market, out of the banks, and bought gold, bullion gold, any kind of gold, bought hard assets, they'd be in trouble. It would send a shockwave through the financial world of this entire planet.
I think it would bring those in power who are pulling the strings, making the puppets dance around the world, would come tumbling down. They
exactly.
would crash around our ankles, and we once again would be the sovereign kings in our own right. And that's the way we started out. But we're fast approaching the point that we left before this country was ever created, slavery. We're going to be owned once again by somebody or something or some government or some sultan or emir or king.
If and we let them.
That's right.
If we let them.
Now, folks, you've been calling me and writing me and wanting to know what kind of people are these people at Swiss America Trading. Well, I'll tell you right now, for standing behind this program as long as they have under the adversities that we have faced and with the attempts that have been made to get them to desert us, you should already know. But the reason I brought Gene Miller on the Hour of the Time tonight is so that you could hear what these people are like and who they are. Over this program, I brought Gene into your homes, and now I'm going to give you a chance to talk to him. The call-in number is 1-602-333-2174. 602-333-2174. So while you're getting it together and deciding just exactly what kind of questions you'd like to ask Gene here on the Hour of the Time, you can think about this.
It's frustration, on a baby high. Take that on a wall of love. The counselor said, man, what are they gonna say?
In my life at 14, 16 years of age at the Hospital of Children in Toronto.
I'm sorry, but tonight we're talking about precious metals, and we have Gene Miller here. He's only going to be here for tonight.
Precious metals.
We'll take another call. The number is 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling in regards to if he could be a little bit more specific on junk silver in relation to when he confiscated the gold.
Okay. You need to put your mouth directly in front of your phone and talk a little louder, please.
Okay. He mentioned the laws of back in 29 when the government had been taking the gold, confiscating the gold.
Yes.
He didn't mention about the junk silver. Is that the same with junk silver?
Well, Gene?
No, there really isn't a problem with junk silver, and it's kind of funny with the name. It really isn't. I mean, it's not junk. It's, some of the stuff that you have in your pocket now is junk. The stuff back then wasn't junk. The term junk silver, the coins are pre-1964, and they're 90% silver. In fact, quarters, you know, they're worth approximately four times their face value due to the silver content. And with the rise in silver, they too, even from an investment standpoint, are a good place to put your money in. And I'll give your listening audience a little side trick that they can do to get some junk silver for free. And your bank will give it to you for free. Take some of your worthless Federal Reserve notes, and if you got $300 or $400 or $500, you know, sitting around, go down to the bank and ask for as many rolls of quarters as you can get. Go through those rolls of quarters, and undoubtedly you will find some pre-1964 junk silver coins in there. They're in there.
And they're worth a lot of money.
And they'll sell them to you for a quarter. But they're worth 75 cents to a dollar. And so, in essence, you're getting this for nothing. And then what is not pre-1964, turn it back in and get your money back and go to another bank, and you can keep doing that and build up a stockpile of some junk silver. But the whole point of owning junk silver is for the silver contents of the coin. It's a U.S. minted coin. It's got its actual face value. Worst case scenario, if silver became worthless, the coin still has its face value that it's minted on it.
Also, in hard times, if you had to use that coin on the black market to purchase food for your family, everybody recognizes it, and nobody doubts the content of the silver in those coins. So you have no problems with getting the worth of the coin. If you had to, say, buy bread for your children on a black market.
Exactly. Anybody who has any knowledge of it will understand that it's worth more than its face value. It'll be worth what the going price of silver may be. And my guess is that when this thing collapses, the paper money collapses, gold and silver will go right up through the roof, and they'll become extremely valuable at that point.
And I echo that. Did that answer your question, caller?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that.
Thank you for calling. Lines open. The number is 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello there, Bill. My name is Randy. I'm in the Chicago area listening to you on shortwave. I had a question pertaining to, I believe there are a couple of numismatic coin grading companies. They get quality coins, they clean them and catalog them and seal them in polymer. Can you mention a couple of those companies by name? And can you tell me if they have an instant trade-in for value, ability, since those coins are sealed in polymer?
Well, the two companies that we deal with, which are basically in the industry, the top two grading companies in the world, one is PCGS, stands for Professional Coin Grading Service. The other one is NGC, Numismatic Guarantee Corporation. And what they do is they take the coins, they authenticate them, they look at them under a microscope, and they grade them on a scale of 1 to 70. 1 being an unrecognizable slug, 70 being absolute perfection. Neither one exists. They start at 70 and they look for, hairline flaws, wear marks, and they just count backwards, thus arriving at its grade. If it achieves a 60 or above, it's classified as a mint state or an uncirculated coin. Anything below that is a circulated coin. The terminology is they slab them. They put them in sonically sealed plastic cases. They code them. They keep a record of all the coins that they grade, who graded them. It's on one of those little barcodes that you see on all your groceries. They have a barcode on those as well. And that way they can identify that particular coin and who graded it and when it was graded. and they stand behind it. They'll guarantee that grade. If it ever was to come back a lower grade, they'll replace the coin, they'll replace the money. It comes with a fairly substantial guarantee, so it took a lot of the risk out of the coin market.
Now, a lot of people have some false thinkings about this. If you bought that coin for $100 and then the price of that coin goes down to $50, they won't buy it back for $100, will they?
No.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody understands.
No, they'll stand behind the coin's grade and what the market was bringing for that coin at that moment.
Right. Did that answer your question, caller?
I had one quick question pertaining to cashing in on that, should that ever need be. What would be in today's times, not in the panic times in the future, just like today or tomorrow, if I were to cash in one of these, how long would it take me to negotiate that back to sheeple paper?
Well, it depends on where you bought it. Now, in our company, our policy is 72 hours. As soon as we get the coin back in our hands, we have a guaranteed buyback at market value, and a check has gone out, printed that day. And so within 72 hours, you'll have your money. Now, that's and wherever you need to buy gold and silver, and those that are listening, but deal with a national dealer. If not us, find a national dealer that's going to be there, that's reputable. We'll even recommend some if you're not comfortable working with us.
Stay away from the snake oiler down in the strip mall.
Exactly. They're going to take your money. And what has happened in the past in bull markets and coins is they're gladly selling to you, but when it comes time to redeeming them for cashing them in, they don't have the capital to stand behind it. They don't have the money to be able to give you what the full value is. And so they'll give you $200 or $300, $400 under market value to be able to cash it in, because they have to turn it around real quick and sell it because they just don't have the capital sitting in the reserves to be able to buy back substantial amounts of coins.
Thank you, Bill. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
The number is 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. I do not pay taxes because I don't earn enough to pay taxes. So could I, if I were to somehow have a windfall of money come to me and I wanted to buy bullion, would I have to have a paper trail?
Not when you buy it. You can buy it fairly privately at this point. It goes, the windfall will come, the paper trail comes in when you go to sell it.
Uh-huh.
The government allows you up to 25 coins to sell at this point without reporting it. Anything over 25 coins, there's a 1099 and a W-9 form and a Social Security number that's required along with it. Now,
if you're a taxpayer.
Yeah. Now, anybody that with any common sense wouldn't sell it to someplace that would be associated with a paper trail. You know, you'd barter with it, sell it to your neighbor, whatever. I mean, there's ways around that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're not suggesting you do anything illegal.
Exactly.
No. I understand that. But it's good to be informed, not to be a sheeple, but to be informed.
Absolutely right.
Right. And we listen to your program every night here in Boston on WWCR. And we have learned a lot since we've been listening, maybe several months now.
Well, that's wonderful. That
yeah.
means that means we're doing our job here.
Yeah,
I hope.
You are. And, we tune in every night. We never miss a program at all. And certainly hope that you will get more and more exposure as time passes, and more people will hear what you have to say.
Well, we've got some things in the works that if they come through, we'll just absolutely astound everybody. We don't know they're going to come through, so I can't really talk about it now. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Folks, last night, those of you who are listening to WWCR may have noticed that WWCR was not on the air when the hour of the time began. They had problems with one of the phases of the three-phase power that went into the transmitter. For 7435, and they were back on the air by 20 past the hour. So those of you who have perseverance got to hear 40 minutes of the hour of the time last night. We will re-air last night's show, probably maybe even tomorrow night. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm on the air now.
You're on the air. The whole world is listening just to you.
My goodness, William Cooper, you're the greatest.
Thank you.
Oh, man, I've turned guys on to you on shortwave. They never heard shortwave in years since they were in the military years ago.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I had a couple questions. One was, I got an advertisement in the mail to buy junk silver.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to pay $2,300 for $1,000 worth of junk silver.
Wait, was that $1,000 coin face value?
Face value, yes.
Is that a good deal?
Was it, was it 90% silver, or was it there's 40% junk silver bags and 90% junk silver bags. That sounds to me like it was probably a 40% junk silver bag.
If it was, would it be a good deal?
$2,300.
For $1,000 face value?
You could do better, I think. It's close, but right now for 90% junk bags, they're retailing somewhere around $3,800.
Wow.
And so that's 90%. Sounds to me like they were talking about a 40% junk bag of silver. And
but he wasn't being cheated.
He wasn't being cheated.
Okay. I think that's what he wants to know.
It is an astronomical out of line, but you could squeak by, maybe they save a few dollars.
Hey, Swiss American, I thank you very much for backing up William Cooper. He is fantastic, and I wait with bated breath. I stay up late at night to hear him on shortwave, and thank you for supporting this man.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
By the way, those of you, thank you for calling. By the way, those of you living in South Florida who are listening to us earlier, 4 hours earlier, in fact, at 8 p.m. in Florida, they don't have to stay up this late, and they hear us just crystal clear, just like the people listening on satellite. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask your guest a question about investing into gold and silver.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I wanted to know, I was interested in starting an investment club in the mutual fund until I started listening to your program. And what I want to know is if I can start an investment club investing into silver and gold bullions.
Does Swiss America do that? Could you help an investment club get started and help them out that way?
Absolutely. The thing would be to call me tomorrow and ask for me. I'll sit down and find out exactly what you're trying to accomplish. Just map out a strategy, and then we'll tailor make something to fit your club's needs.
Okay. I'll do that then. I have the number. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. You know, Craig Smith, one of the reasons that I allowed Swiss America Trading to sponsor this program, and I just would not allow anybody. I went for a long time, and a lot of people offered to sponsor this program. I refused because I had to be able to stand behind whoever was standing behind me. And that's extremely important to me, as all of you know. Well, Craig Smith, who is the head man down there, has promised me, and we've become very good friends, and I know him very well. He has promised me that any way that they can help the listeners of the Hour of the Time, they will bend over backwards. And if anybody thinks that there's anything wrong or has been hurt or mishandled or anything in any way, that he wants to know about it immediately, and he has assured me that he will straighten it out on the spot. So, folks, take advantage of these people. You don't find companies like this all the time. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm Mark from Minneapolis.
Hello, Mark.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Tom Valentine Rue's motherfucker.
Well, we got another little kid out there with a full load in his little panties. And some mother is frantically running around looking for him. Mom, he's over by the phone. And if you'll get there real quick, maybe you can save the carpet for what's spilling out of that diaper. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. This is Brian in Boise.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, I've been listening to your show last while. Bit of time satellite. Something good. I got a bunch of silver coins that I purchased down at one of the local gold and silver shops.
Okay, I need you. We got level problems here. I need you to put your mouth directly in front of the phone.
Okay, how's this?
Oh, that's much better.
Okay, yeah, I bought a bunch of silver coins down at the gold and silver shop down. I mean, we have two or three here in town. Now, is there anything different here? I mean, there's I don't know, I don't remember what the price was. If I want to sell those coins, what's the best way to do it?
What did you buy? Do you know? Did you just buy silver bullion? Did you buy junk silver?
They're just 1 ounce coins. I don't know if Liberty Silvers and things like that.
When you bought them, did you ask the company? Do they have a buyback policy?
I wasn't particularly. No, I did not.
Right, you know, to be honest with you, right now, unless you're, you know, needing the money, I would hold on to them. I think you're going to find in the very, in, you know, the next few months that they're going to become much, much more valuable. And the whole point is not so much you're going to need this down the road when this whole thing collapses. That's the real money. Unless you're looking at investment, that's the only reason you should sell it and exchange it back in for paper money, because the paper money is worthless. And so that's the one dilemma that we struggle with. We put clients into pieces that are tremendous investment pieces, and we're making them money. But the money is in a sense, when you go to cash it in, what are you going to cash it in for? Worthless money. And so, but if you're needing to sell it, go back to that place that that did offer, that sold it to you, and see what their policy is, or call us up. You know, we buy people's silver from them. We buy their, we guarantee to buy back anything that we sell, and we'll buy back other people's stuff.
Okay, yeah, thank you. What is the price of silver and gold right now? And then I'll hang up.
Oh, golly, when I left the office today, silver was like at $4.73 an ounce, I believe. I left at 10 o'clock this morning, so.
And that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it silver bullion and gold bullion will fluctuate, could fluctuate every 5 minutes on the market. It's just like stocks, and it's driven by supply and demand, people buying contracts, and so I don't know what it closed at, to be honest with you.
Well, thank you.
What was gold this morning when you left?
Gold was sitting at about $372 an ounce, about up $1.20.
Oh, I might as well inform you people out there that since we began receiving threats here, we notified the local sheriff, the police department, and the telephone company, and they put in a caller ID here. So anybody who calls in and does anything like our baby Huey did just a little bit before, we just merely write down the phone number that is given to the telephone company, who then traces that number to the locality, and they give it over to your local police department. And, little boy, somebody will be calling on you and your mother. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. My name's Bob. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Bob.
I have a question. By the way, I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question, okay? Say you bought a $20 gold piece. You spent $600 for the coin. The economy goes out. Paper currency is no longer any good.
Then you got a lot of money.
How do you redeem a $20 gold coin for, okay, say you go to the supermarket, right? I don't want to take that $20 gold coin and purchase items at a supermarket when I just paid $600 for it.
That's a wise decision.
Exactly. When I put a client and develop a portfolio, the whole thing is you want balance. You know, you don't eat chocolate. Everybody loves chocolate, but you can't live on chocolate.
Right.
Okay? And so what I do is with a client, you should have some gold, you should have some silver, you should have some junk silver. And so when you go to buy the loaf of bread, you take the junk silver or the silver bullion down. And the gold is for your major storehouse of wealth. And so you should have a balanced portfolio. If you own some gold, great. Then maybe you need to concentrate on owning some silver.
Okay. I have a problem with that, though, because all of the major food chains now are incorporated, and you can say they're owned by the government, and I just have a problem with the stores in my area recognizing my lawful money as what it is, and they're not going to want it. They're going to want a Mac card from me or something of that, which I don't believe that I should have. I don't carry one of those. I can't make the connection here of how...
Let me make the connection for you, if I may. If in the situation that you're talking about, and you said if the economy collapses and paper's no good anymore, you're not going to be down at the local grocery store spending those coins. You're going to be in an alley in the black market spending those coins, and they are going to be worth exactly what they're worth in that alley, and people are going to know what they're trading with and for. Does that answer your question?
Yes. If that's what the scenario is going to come down to.
Well, that's the scenario you gave us to work with.
Well, you're right. I did, and being that that's the scenario I gave, that's a good answer for it. I just have trouble visualizing, though, I want to invest in gold and silver. I believe it's the only substance that is going to outlast any of the economy falling out. And I'm just not sure about how or what to invest into. like I said, a $20 gold piece can run about $600. And that's where I'm running into problems now. Do I make this $600 investment, and then when the economy drops out, here I'm going to be left with a $20 gold piece that all of the people who have no idea what we're talking about know its value?
Well, if we look at history, even back in the Depression, numismatic coins didn't lose their value. In fact, they continued to grow in value. And if what you say happens, and I believe that's a very safe scenario, that the economy does collapse, number one, your coins are going to become extremely valuable literally overnight. And at that point, maybe you want to trade it in and exchange it for lower denomination things, smaller gold coins, smaller bullion coins. Get more of those things. In the bullion form of gold, in the American Eagles that our government offers at this point, you can get it in 1 ounce, half ounce, quarter ounce, and even clear down to 1/10 ounce.
Which is a very small coin.
It's about the size of your little fingernail.
The 1/10 of an ounce coin sounds like that would be a good investment.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're looking
it's
for.
It's a good survival piece. You're not going to get rich on it unless, you know, like say we see gold going up to $1,000 an ounce, which very well may happen as this economy erodes. A lot of economists or people, gold bugs, believe that we'll see higher gold prices than we saw in the last bull market. And the smaller gold pieces are strictly that. They're survival pieces. You're going to hold on to your money. It's going to be real money that you're not going to... You just can't go wrong owning gold.
Well, if I can just say this one thing, I talked to a local coin dealer in this area, and she believes that by summer of 94, possibly as early as spring, the market's going to be manipulated again, and gold and silver is going to be the thing to own. And just if anybody else cares, and I'm a layman, I know nothing about this. I'm just calling around to local dealers, inquiring about, you know, buying the gold bullion, silver bullion. And a few of them have reflected your views on gold and silver. So it's not just a major company like you that's nationwide. It's the local shops also that are saying this. So... thanks for taking my call, Bo.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Number is 602-333-2174. That's 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a point and thank your sponsor that if you study the Banking Control Act of 1980, you have to, these people that are going to buy gold coins and silver for their own protection have to understand that part of the collateralization of the debt of the third world and fourth world countries includes safe deposit boxes in this country, and anything they store there, should this calamity happen, will be confiscated.
That's right. I've always maintained on this show, when we've talked about these subjects, that you must take possession of whatever you buy. I don't care what it is. Don't let anybody store it for me. Don't put it in a safety deposit box. You're going to have to make some method of safekeeping it somewhere where your neighbors don't know about it and nobody else knows about it, just you, but where you can get it readily if you need to.
Exactly.
All right, I just thought I'd throw that in. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. That was a point well made and well taken. The number is 602-333-2174, and you're on the air.
Hi.
You need to turn off your radio, my friend.
I was wondering about this gold. Could one, like, go outside and, you know, with the metal detectors, pick up gold rings, gold rings and stuff, necklaces? Could they melt those down and put them into some sort of form to...
You need to put your mouth directly in front of your phone and talk a little louder, please.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Could you melt down the gold and use it that way on the black market? Like, I don't...
Well, the problem exists in that they're not going to know. You'd have to take it to a refiner and an assayer who could refine it down into 24-karat gold and assay it and stamp it that's what it is. You could melt down a ring and they could see this chunk of yellow metal, and you can say it's gold, and he could say, no, it's not. I had a client that brought in a coin who he did a transaction, and this guy said, here's a gold coin in exchange for the business that they had done, and he believed it was gold. Come to find out, he brought it in to me and look at it, and it wasn't gold. It was brass. And but brass shined up and stuff can kind of somewhat look like gold, and it looked like an old coin that was worth several hundred dollars. Well, it was a counterfeit coin worth about 50 cents.
So you'd have to get it appraised and.
Assayed is the word.
Assayed. Now, you're better off leaving the coin or the ring, if you find a ring, actually in that form. Because I've sold, you know, and I've done that. I've taken gold rings and stuff, and I turned them in and got cash for them. You're better off just leaving it in the form that it is. It's generally most rings are marked, whether that's 10 carat or 12 carat or 18 carat. And so they have some sort of identification as to the quality of the gold, and then they can determine a price on it.
They sell it at a pawn shop or something.
Yeah. There are people that, if you even look in the paper, there's advertisements often listed that people will buy gold.
Well, thanks.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
Folks, the name of our guest is Gene Miller from Swiss America Trading in Phoenix, Arizona. And for those of you outside the United States, if you call the information operator for Phoenix, Arizona, you can get the number for Swiss America Trading, because I know you can't call in on the 800 number. And I want to give you the phone number for those of you in the United States right now. It's 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. One more time. 1-800-289-2646. You can call tonight and leave a message on the machine, and someone will call you back tomorrow. Or you can call tomorrow and talk to Gene Miller personally. Or what I would like you to do, since he drove all this way, it took him about 5 hours to get here, and he's going to have to drive 5 hours back tonight. Call tonight, leave a message on the machine that you want to talk to nobody else but Gene Miller. Please do that, folks. Gene, you've just got a few seconds, and we've got to sign off here. What would you like to say to the folks out there?
Well, again, do something. And if you call me up in the next few days, in this week, and ask for me personally, I'll put together something. In fact, I talked to the boss. I'll discount something for you, and we'll give you the best deal that we possibly can. And I want to thank Bill for allowing me to be on the program here tonight. And
good night, and
good
God
night.
Bless you all.
See you later, Radigator.
Well, I saw my baby walking.
Fisher Price trading jacket lets your baby shoot, read eye, and jump. In fact, it'll develop every skill except dribbling. But then your baby already does that like a pro.
You
can
marry my baseball
club. I can like you wear. No, I'll try nice and wear. Make sure to be nice and clear. Cut your toes and focus more on the
difficult things you're used to.
I feel like I can play like you. I say to look like you. Now, back to the Empire Spice Band, USA.